high gas prices, viruses on mission trips, fireworks that go off well after midnight, all kinds of things in life that we cannot control, though we'd love to. You ever have that feeling of being powerless over the circumstances of your life, ineffective at bringing about the changes of things you'd love to see different? Somebody said once, you know, if you want to capture kind of a little bit of power in your life, here's what you do. At your lunch break at work sometime, hop in your car and go park alongside a busy street, put on some sunglasses, and pull out a hairdryer and just point it at the cars driving by. See, now that's kind of a feeling of control, right? Well, the truth of the matter is that we often feel out of control and we want to do something about it. And so we try different things to get ourselves in that position where we can be in control of our life circumstance. But it doesn't work really well. Well, today I want to talk to you about how it is that we get to the place where we feel ineffective. And more importantly, where the source of power for our life comes from. The truth of the matter is that we shouldn't feel very sorry for ourselves. And I want you to think about it. Look at the outline in your bulletin. The first point I want to make is simply this, that we often feel ineffective not because we don't know what to do, but because we don't do the things that we know we should do. We often feel ineffective simply because we know the right thing that is to do, but then we don't follow through on it. I had a good example of that this week. I was complaining about how I don't have enough time to work out, and one of my kids looked at me and said, "Dad, come on. You just don't have the willpower at the end of the day when you're tired to go work out." And I had this like groundswell of resistance to that comment. I opened my mouth and they were right. And I hate that. But the truth of the matter is I know the thing that I should do, but I don't do the thing that I should. I want you to think about that truth while you watch this scene, and then we'll talk more about it.
Jackie, you always get to pick every single game. I just want to pick for once, just for once.
No, because the games I pick are actually good games.
You know what, just grab the chips.
This game is boring. No.
Jackie, it's not boring.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
You know what, you always pick the game and you always get to go first, so I'm going
this
time.
No, I'm going first.
You know what, you cheat, and so that's why we play Battleship.
I don't cheat.
You can't
cheat
in Battleship. You always are looking over at my things.
No,
girls,
you always are.
Girls, guess what? I was just reading an article about healthy eating, and it looks like maybe we could use some better eating habits here ourselves. What do you think? Listen to what this says. It says, by eating healthy, you can improve your immune system and prevent disease and illness.
You
exciting?
Are a disease.
No. Listen up. You will enjoy life more and have more energy to face the tasks before you. Jackie, you're always complaining that you don't have enough energy, right?
Yeah.
Well, and listen, Julia, it can reduce your stress levels and you'll sleep better and you'll be more rested when you wake up.
So you're not so cranky.
What else does it say? Ah, guess what? It says if you are currently overweight, you'll be able to lose that weight more easily and maintain it long term. Combine healthy eating and daily exercise, and you will increase these effects even more. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I think it's something that we really need to do. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, I've been reading about this in school, and you know, you just don't realize, Jackie, how much junk food makes you so crabby and irritable.
Well, fine. All right. But what do we have to give up?
Oh, let's not think of it as what we have to give up. Let's think of it of all the things that we can incorporate into our meals that are good for us and good for our bodies. What does it sell? There's a whole list here. Whole grains, not refined or processed grains. Oh, I can find those. Vegetables, go for the brights. The deeper the color, the greater the concentration of vitamins. and a variety of fruits. You guys like fruit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Low-fat milk and other dairy products, that's easy. And it says vary your eating of proteins by using fish, poultry, eggs, beans, peas, and nuts. Minimize red meat because that contains high levels of saturated fats. And avoid fast foods because they are extremely high in saturated fats and empty calories.
Oh, but they're so good. Well, I guess planning a meal could be fun to do together.
We could surprise Dad tonight.
Okay, you know what? There's some good recipes in here. Let's pick one out. How about that?
No, that doesn't look good.
Oh, look at all the bright colors.
Yeah, it's very colorful.
It would be good. That looks very
good.
No.
This one. This is the one.
Yeah.
Right here. We'll make this one tonight.
Okay.
That looks good.
That does. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, gang. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Guess what?
What?
I saved a ton of money on my car insurance. just kidding. I landed a new account, and I think we should go out to dinner tonight.
Yeah. I think we should.
Great idea.
All right. Where would you like to go?
White Castle?
Hey, that's great for me. Double cheeseburgers for everybody.
Milkshakes.
Let's go.
French fries.
So like I said, one of the truths is that it's not the amount of information that we have, it's what we do with the information that we already have. Our failure to feel like we are effective, the reason we often feel so powerless and we feel weak and crabby and tired and all of that stuff is because of follow-through more so than because of the information that we lack. The series that we're doing in the book of Ephesians is a great series that talks about follow-through. How to take the truths, the rich, wonderful truths of the Christian faith and translate them into a lifestyle that lives on street level with energy and purpose. The truth is that we have so much information in God's Word. If we could just learn to apply a tenth of it, we will be so much better off. And Paul helps us to do just that. Now, just go back with me for a minute. The start of this series, I talked about the failure of the Ephesian church later on, after the book was written. The book of Revelation, this letter written to the church of Ephesus saying, you didn't get the point. Everything Paul wrote about, all the rich, gracious stuff that God has given you, you didn't follow through on. How? First love died. That first deep love you felt for the Father when you became a Christ follower faded away. You didn't sustain it. You didn't follow through. What you knew about, you became bored with. The failure to follow through was the heart of the undoing of the church in Ephesus. And then you get into the book of Ephesians, and we talked about being blessed. We are so blessed with redemption and forgiveness and grace and election and God's rich, blessed spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. And we are called to live out of that blessing. Do you live as a blessed person today? Do you live as though you have so much to be thankful for? Are you in your spirit living with an attitude of blessing and gratitude, or of crabbiness and irritability on a spiritual level? Paul desires follow through, and that's part of why he wrote the book. And then this whole idea of being commissioned to do works of service that God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me remind you again that we had all the guys come up here on Father's Day. We took a knee before God and we considered what it means that we have been extended grace upon grace and we're called to live out of it. Works that God has given us to do. The exploration of what it is that God wants me to do with my life. And in the context of my life, whether I go to school during the summer, whether I'm working on vacation, what God wants me to do uniquely for His purposes, not just going through the motions like people who aren't Christ followers do. And then this idea of being reconciled, the dividing wall of hostility is broken down, the peace that Christ makes possible between ethnic groups, between people in your family with whom you're at odds right now, between ethnic along ethnic lines, where there's diversity and distinction and separateness, where we work to bridge some of that. Follow through, follow through, follow through is what God is about. And Paul calls us to that. Today I want to talk to you about follow through. And it's going to come through the form of a prayer. This is one of the most beautiful prayers you're going to see in all of Scripture. Turn with me to it. We're going to look at it. We're going to pray about it. And we're going to reflect on it this morning. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21, page 1158 in the red Bibles under your chairs. 1158, Ephesians 3. And I hope that this will become a prayer that you incorporate at least the concepts of into your daily life and becomes part of the follow-through of your Christ-centered walk. Let me read the prayer to you, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." This is an incredible text of prayer that talks about the follow-through in our Christian walk. And the way that Paul gets at it is by three times, in verse 16, 18, and 20, he talks about the power of God. And he specifically prays. I want you to think this morning about whether in your prayer time you ever say prayers that reflect the words that are resembled here. The expression of the prayer for the power of God to come and do some work to bring about action in the lives of people. Paul is praying that for the Ephesian church and for us here this morning. Paul wants us to be empowered by the Spirit of God, to be empowered to experience and to express and to be encouraged, so that there will be life change, activity change, perspective change, and follow through in our Christ-centered walk. Let me go through those three things today. First of all, it talks about verse 16. "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts." The Spirit of God coming to rest inside of an individual when you become a believer in Christ, that Spirit carries an ability, a strength, a power to experience the indwelling presence of Christ. Now, my fear is that as you hear those words, you're already bored with this sermon. And I hope you're not. Because this is something that is impactful and growing for a person who is a longtime believer, as it is new to consider for a person not yet a believer in Jesus Christ. Let me explain. What Paul sees is that there is a capacity and ability for people to have the Spirit of God in them in such a way that by faith, the dwelling of Christ, you see the word there? The dwelling of Christ inside of that person actually grows. It's like the planting of a seed inside of your heart, and it grows and it blooms and it becomes large. The permeating presence of Christ growing inside of you. Paul prays that these people that he doesn't know what their issues are, he doesn't know their life circumstance, but whatever it is, whatever your life circumstance, you can pray for the dwelling of Christ by the power of the Spirit to grow inside of you. And when that happens, the difference it makes in the follow-through is enormous. Because you and I live out of the presence of Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who? But Christ who lives in me and through me. And the more we get connected to our God through prayer, The presence of Christ comes to live and to dwell. And that is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church and his prayer for you and for me. If you are not a person who has yet surrendered the knee to Jesus Christ, in other words, you haven't acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the Savior of your sins and the Lord of your life, let me just say a word to you. How do you get to this place? Very simply, you have to understand something, you ask something, and you receive something. And then you begin to live something. You need to understand that you have a deep need inside of your heart, a God-shaped hole that only God Himself can fill, that the Spirit of God loves to come in and fill. You have to understand that God's provision for your need is sufficient for that need. No human being can meet the needs of all of the needs of your life, but God can come and fill the deepest need of your soul. You need to ask. Come to a place in your life where you say, God, I ask you for forgiveness because I have tried to fill that need in and of myself by my own strength. I'm sorry. You need to ask for the provision of the grace of God to come into your heart, for His forgiveness and His love to pour in. And guess what? Then you receive. It's a guarantee because the presence of God is offered to anybody who opens the heart to Him. You receive the forgiveness, you receive the grace, you receive the presence of God, and then you begin to live out of that. This morning I want us to do something in a direct application, follow through of what we're hearing. I want us to pray. So let's start by praying that God would give the power of His Spirit to people that you know who don't know Christ to experience the indwelling presence of God. And if you know somebody who's a Christian, a Christ follower, but who's in a spiritual funk. They're drifting, they're wandering, they're in a bad spot, their attitude isn't right, their heart isn't right, their behaviors aren't representing Christ-centered integrity. Then pray for the power of the Spirit to indwell that person so Christ will become large inside of them. Would you do that with me? I'll start the prayer and then you finish it with a private prayer of your own. And I'll close that, just silent as you pray. God in heaven, thank you so much that Paul teaches us some things about prayer. And this morning, Heavenly Father, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would reside in the hearts, would come to reside in the heart of somebody that I know who doesn't know you. And that Christ would begin to dwell in that person as that person comes to faith. And I also pray, God, for those people I know who already believe in you, but the dwelling presence of Christ, it's hardly observable, that it will become much more so. God, we pray to you in private now. Father, we trust these people that we have just prayed for to you. We know that you are more than able to do all that you have promised, and we entrust this to you, God. We pray with confidence and boldness in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, it says in James 5 that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Do you know that the Bible often connects the word power with the word prayer? It's not earth-centered power that is all about domination and control and all that. This is about true authority with absolute integrity. The power of God. So often we try to do things with power and we hope that they're effective. You know, there's a story of this guy who in Michigan took these sticks of dynamite and he wanted to move this stump. He stuck them underneath the stump. He didn't think one stick of dynamite would do it, so he put two there. And the second stick of dynamite he wasn't quite so sure about, but he didn't want to try three, so he lit the two. And he had no idea how effective the dynamite could be. You know, that little wick, that little stick, that little bit of gunpowder, just what that could do. The stump landed in the neighbor's yard, three houses down. He had no idea how effective it could be. So often, you guys, our prayers, we plant them, we add to them, we think if I just land enough there, if I light enough prayers up, maybe one of them will be effective. We so underestimate the authority and the power, the capacity of God. Do you know that prayer that you prayed for an individual in that moment of silence, God can take that and might well work in a person an enormous change? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Let's move on. Paul prays that not only the power of God will be effective in the experience of the presence of God, but let's read on here. It says, "And I pray," in verse 17, "that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp," I love that word, "to seize, to get a hold of, to not let go of, a firm grip, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the measure, the fullness of God." There's the permeating dwelling of the of God inside of us. By grasping the dimensions of the love of God. Came across in a Life Application Bible a study note that says it better than I could verbalize it. Let me read it to you. "God's love is total," says Paul. "It reaches every corner of our experience. It is wide. It covers the breadth of our own experience, and it reaches out to the whole world. God's love is long. It continues the length of our lives. It is high. It reaches to the heights of our celebration and elation. His love is deep. It reaches to the depths of discouragement, despair, and even death. When you feel shut out or isolated, remember that you can never be lost to the love of God." And Paul prays that the people of Ephesus, and by extension all of us, including those here in Christ community, on this day in 2008, would experience the dimensions of the love of Christ in their heart, that the power of God would bring that about. And so what we're talking about here is being encouraged, filled with courage in your heart, that the love of Christ will come to take root and dwell deeply inside of you, inside of me, that we'll know the dimensions of the unthwartable, unalterable, unchangeable love of God. I pray that you know that this morning. And I ask you to pray that you will on a deeper level. What happens when you know and experience the love of God deeper in your heart? Do you know that when you do, there is so much more that you can face in life with so much more energy, courage, grace, unanxiousness? When you feel, I've learned to say to myself, "Fred, you're feeling anxious right now. That means that you're not connected enough to your Lord. Fred, you're feeling irritable and crabby and a little off. You're just not yourself. That means that there's something going on internally. The issue is not the problem out there. The issue is internal, always internal. Because if you're so filled with the dwelling presence and the love of Christ, is there anything that can happen that can fundamentally shake you that much inside? Nothing. Nothing. Not an argument with a loved one. Not a disagreement with a fellow believer. Not a crisis in the work environment. Not a health issue that threatens your life. Doesn't mean we don't struggle. All believers struggle like anybody else. But we have so much stability, unanxious presence because of the love of God that dwells within us. By the way, you see the word "in" as an emphasis word here. It's in. The courage comes from in. It's the love of Christ comes in. But do you know that the fundamental thing that happens is something inside of you that changes your character? When's the last time somebody looked at you and said, "You have got something in your life that you have got to change. You've got to deal with. It is high time for you to get in touch with that issue." And you became defensive and angry. Let me ask, why did you become defensive and angry? I have to look at myself every time I'm challenged. And the truth of the matter is that if the love of Christ and the presence of Christ is dwelling that strongly inside of me, there is no challenge to my integrity, no challenge to my character that I will not receive with grace. Because we are in courage. The courage comes within. The change comes within. And then we can go without. But first, before we go there, I want us to pray for somebody you know who's beaten down and discouraged, or someone who's been unwilling to face issues in their own life, and pray that the power of God, that the love of God will so permeate their hearts that they will change from the inside out. Let's bow our heads. God, we pray to you right now for someone we know who is discouraged and despairing, or someone who has become aloof and withdrawn, and who sorely needs the power of the Spirit, the love of Christ, in all its dimensions to take root, to change them and encourage them and help them from the inside out. Thank you that you are a God of encouragement and that we can experience the love of Christ on that kind of level that Paul talks about. Father, would you help us to share from our hearts to the hearts of others what you have done in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at the third one. The empowerment of the Spirit that comes to enable us to express out back to God what He has done for us. I love this explosion of Paul in verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. Can't you imagine a lot? Who can do more than what you can even imagine? According to His power that is at work within us. There's that word again. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is Paul modeling the living, the expressing out of what the power of God has done for him within. You see it, this is a very emotional expression, and you could tell by the language. In fact, if we go back to verse 14, he says, I kneel before the Father. There's Paul taking a kneel before God. Normally in the culture that day, the Christians stood to pray. But out of emotion, out of fervency, he kneels before God. And then he expresses himself. He says, to Him who's able, I believe He's able to do more than even what I can imagine, let alone what I know. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. My friends, how's your prayer life been these days? Can I encourage you to take this and make this a source of your prayer life? Let it feed, nourish, and inform how you pray this coming week. How often, I know that for me it's not very often at all, that I actually pray for the power of God to come and reside inside of myself or another person and with confidence and boldness say, God, do that work inside. And then to give expression before I even see the result of it, the confidence that the glory of God is what's at stake here and the glory of God is what will be revealed in the heart and the life of the person. I love this prayer because it tells me that I need to pray bigger to a God who is far bigger than what I often imagine Him to be. I settle for these wimpish little God help me prayers when I should be praying for the strength and the authority and the power of God to do His work and then to the glory of God, do your work in a circumstance that I have no clue how it's going to work out. Now that's big prayer kind of living. Would you agree? That's big prayer living. The power to follow through with this kind of prayer life and this kind of living is a power that moves, listen, not from our hearts up to God and back down, but it starts at 20,000 feet and moves to the street. I think sometimes we misdefine prayer as the thing that, like us igniting that stick of dynamite and then releasing it to go do its explosive work, as though we are the ones who control the ignition. We don't control anything. We simply ask for God to ignite His power to our circumstance. And He does so willingly. We have no authority in and of ourselves, but God listens by His grace to us. And He ignites, He explodes, and He does marvelous work. And with confidence, we can pray to Him. And we express to Him, God, glory be to You for all that You will do in and through us. Let's stand for our last prayer. God, I just pray that You would help us in this moment to be able to express to You from our hearts how we want to glorify You with our lives. And I pray, Father, that You would help us to learn to pray as we will right now. That You would bring glory to Yourself through us, through the church, through our families. That we might follow through on all the things we have experienced and known to be true. God, listen to our prayer to that effect. That we might express to You the glory due to Your name. All glory be to You, O God. All glory be to You. May your power come to reside in and through us in such a way that others that we come in contact with will know and see the permeating indwelling presence of God and will come to live out of it, that they'll experience it themselves, and that the network of influence that we have around us, that the whole network will be impacted and influenced, that the love of Christ, the authority of Christ will come to rest in those places on a greater level, that we will give testimony to your love and your grace, and that our prayers will begin to capture the heart and soul of Paul's prayer in his book, that we will pray with confidence and boldness. God, so work that in our lives, and we will do it. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen.